Kate McClellan, pro wedding planner with over 16 years of experience helping more than 400 couples down the aisle. I started Planning Collective to help all couples get through the overwhelm of wedding planning by sharing my actionable tips and tools that I've used over the years working with my clients. We'll focus on getting rid of what I like to call FOWO, the fear of wedding oversight. This is an unfortunate condition that almost every couple will suffer from at some point. Let's get you back to enjoying the planning process. Here we go. Hey guys, Kate here. Welcome back to another episode of the Wedding Planning Collective podcast. In today's episode, we're going to get into an important, though not so glamorous topic, and that is vendor contracts. Having contracts with your vendors is super important, but what do you need to look out for before signing? I'll get into that in just a minute, but first, let's discuss why contracts are important. For most couples, having a contract with all of your vendors will be a no-brainer, and most likely required by the vendors you're looking to work with. There is one unique situation where you might not feel the need for a contract, though, and that's when you have a friend or family member that will be helping you with something rather than hiring a professional. And these are actually the scenarios that I most recommend having a contract for, as it's important to be very clear on the expectations for both ends. While you may not need to be as formal and detailed with some of the clauses we're going to get into in a bit, just having the conversation with your family member or friend about what goes into the contract will help both sides get some clarification on what's to be provided. Just having the conversation with your family member or friend about what goes into the contract will help both sides get some clarification on what services are to be provided. For example, let's say you have a really good friend that's a pro DJ, and they've offered to DJ your wedding for free. You discuss the date with them, and they let you know that you're locked in the calendar for the day, but there's no other contract or paperwork in place. Now let's fast forward to the week before the wedding, and you're set to chat with your friend about the songs and details of the day. You start by talking about the processional songs for the ceremony, and your friend looks a little confused. He stops you and says, "I didn't realize that you needed me for the ceremony." And that's when things start to get awkward. It's not that he can't provide the sound for the ceremony, but it would require that he rents a second setup for his equipment, which he wasn't planning on. And with less than a week before the wedding, he's going to have to hustle to find the equipment he needs. It also means that his offer of providing a free service is now either going to cost him out of pocket for the rental, or he'll have to put the charge on you, which is an unexpected last-minute cost that you weren't anticipating. If you had sat down with your friend and put together a contract for the timing of booking for them, these are the details that you would have reviewed. While in this example, it may not have changed the end results, meaning you still likely needed to reserve the extra equipment, it would save you from the last minute stress of trying to figure it all out the week of the wedding. It also would save you from the awkward and uncomfortable situation where your friend might feel taken advantage of if he covers the cost, or the opposite, that you're upset about a last minute expense you weren't expecting. Well, this is just an example. Hopefully it will help you understand why it's important to discuss these details in advance so that everyone is on the same page with what the expectations are. Okay, let's get into the details of vendor contracts and what you need to look for before you sign. Number one, your details. This is usually outlined in the first page of the contract, and it will cover the basics of your wedding details, including your full names, contact information, and of course, your wedding date, time, and location. Number two, their details. This will include the services that they are providing, and this is where it should start to get specific. How many hours do they provide? Is that second ceremony setup included for your DJ? Will you have one or two photographers for that day? And how long will they be on site? Who will actually be on site providing the service if it's not the person you've been speaking with? Each vendor is going to have different specific details in here, but make sure what you've discussed with them about what they will provide is outlined in this section. Number three, the payment structure should also be outlined in your contract, stating what's needed for a deposit along with when additional or final payments will be due. This section will most likely include any potential additional charges or fees, as well as the vendor's preferred method of payment. Number four, responsibilities and expectations. And this is a really important section. Most contracts will include a section that will outline what the expectations are on the client's end, and that's important to review those to make sure that you are able to provide what they need. For example, in my contract, I have a line that states, Client shall provide consultant with copies of contract information, proposals, contracts, and agreements with all hired vendors in a timely manner. If we're not working with our clients on a full service basis, they probably booked their vendors without us being involved in that process. And so this is really important for me to know what has been agreed upon. Having this in the contract helps me set the expectation that I will be asking this of them, but also covers me on my end if they do not provide this information and therefore we can't properly do our job. Another common note you'll see in this area is regarding vendor meals that are needed at the reception. Some vendors have very specific requirements, so make sure you review these to avoid any surprises closer to the wedding. And number 5, the cancellation or rescheduling clause should be pretty straightforward, but many vendors have changed this policy over the last couple of years thanks to the pandemic. Most vendors will have a non-refundable deposit, but we've all needed to embrace flexibility in this area. If you're not solid on your wedding date or some of the details yet, make sure that you have a chat with this vendor about it first. I'm finding that most have changed this section in their contract to state that they will move the date, though they can't guarantee availability for anything other than the date listed on the contract. Well, those are the main components you'll find in most contracts. You'll likely find several other categories or standard contract clauses as you're reviewing the documents from your vendors. If you come across something that either confuses you or makes you uncomfortable, ask them about it. A good example for this is that I have a photo release in my contract that allows me to use pictures from the wedding in my marketing. However, if this makes clients uncomfortable or if they don't want us using their photos, I'm absolutely happy to take that out. So make sure you're feeling comfortable about everything in the contract, and a little more clarification might make you feel better about it. Do you have any questions about details or clauses that you've spotted in vendor contracts? Head on over to the Wedding Planning Collective Facebook group and post it for us to take a look at. And if you found this episode helpful, I would love it if you could take a second and rate and review. It would mean the world to me, and it would help other engaged couples find the wedding planning help they need. Thank you so much for joining, and I will see you in the next episode.